in 5, 4, 3.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. I'm glad to be here with an old friend of mine, Bob Getz.
Thank
from
you,
Bob and Norm.
Yep.
The infamous Bob and Norm.
Infamous.
That's
I
right.
I guess we could say that at this point, right?
The infamous Bob and Norm, an acoustic duo, sometimes a trio, goes under the name Powderfinger.
Yep.
I know I've Googled you a couple of times, and there is a Powderfinger from Canada or something.
Australia, I believe.
Australia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do they own the copyright on it or the trademark?
I don't even know, honestly. We were using the name before they were, and if it comes up like once a year, maybe like that somebody says, oh, there's another band, it's not enough to make us have to change the name.
Yeah, it's all about getting your trademark in. It's all. It's like Guns N' Roses. Axl owns the name.
Uh-huh.
Or actually some of the 50s bands, like the Drifters and stuff like
right.
that. The producers came up with the name,
right.
hired studio musicians,
mm-hmm.
and that's why different people sang on different songs, and that's why maybe
yeah,
there's three
right.
or four different versions of the Drifters out there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, Bob, you're a bass player.
Yes, I am.
You're a bass player and a vocalist.
Vocalist, correct.
Bob and Norm is an interesting group. Basically, I kind of think of you kind of as like a Seals and Crosby, Stills and Nash, kind of an acoustic, well, not kind of, an acoustic
yes.
duo.
Mm-hmm.
But as you told me, you try to stay faithful to the records.
Yes, always.
Unlike me, who plays around with them. You stay faithful to them. And you have an interesting story. You've been playing around these parts for years.
Long time. Very long time. 20 years, probably.
20? And look how young you look.
Oh, yeah.
What are you... Man, what cream do you put on your
yeah.
face? How do you do that? You know what I say? The day you stop drinking, that's the end. But not to say he drinks at all.
Yeah.
But anyway, Bob... I know you have a very interesting, kind of weird story about how you came up with the acoustic concept. Why don't you tell the audience?
It actually wasn't my idea originally. It was an idea of a friend of mine who I worked with in one of my first bands when we were younger, in our early 20s. And he decided to leave the band because he wanted to pursue an acoustic career, I guess we'll say that. You know, he wanted to go out and do jobs alone just with his acoustic guitar and not be in a big band format.
Okay.
So he went and did this, and eventually I ended up leaving the band also, and he started to invite me to come and play on jobs with him. I had this big hollow body Kramer bass. It's a dinosaur.
Electric bass?
It was an acoustic bass, a hollow body, looked like an acoustic guitar.
Oh, right. I know what you're talking about.
And so it was kind of neat to go and play with acoustic guitar players with this thing, you know. And
your ears probably appreciated it, right?
Yes, definitely. So that started, and we were getting some work, and we were, you know, going out and doing jobs and everything. And unfortunately, he passed away at a very young age. His name was Danny. And after some soul searching, I guess, and even just talking it over with some of the club owners, whatever, a lot of people encouraged me to just keep doing it, keep the idea going. So, I thought about who I could get to, you know, replace Danny, and Norman came to mind, and I gave him a call, and he was into the idea, and we took it from there. And so originally it wasn't even my idea to do something like this, and it's just funny how it ends up, you know, 14 years later, here I am working 5-6 nights a week with this thing. you know.
Sometimes two gigs a night, right?
Sometimes two, sometimes three. I've done as many as four. I mean, you know,
wow,
during the day. So
now, let me ask you, what are the clubs that usually play in the Westchester area?
One of our main staples is a place called Opus 465 up in Armonk. Will be a Pete's Saloon in Elmsford.
Is that as Powderfinger or Bob and Norma?
Depends. They have electric bands on Friday nights, acoustic bands on Saturday nights. So
I'm playing there with my electric band in a couple of Saturdays.
Oh, you do. All right. Sneaking it in under the wire. Those are probably the only two. There's a place called Fogarty's in Bronxville, too. We work down there once a month. That's with the electric band, always.
What about that club that I played a couple of times?
Just in Time?
Just in Time Cafe.
Unfortunately, they just contacted me last week and said they're going to stop doing music. So.
Oh.
So that was a nice job, too. That was a very nice people up there and everything.
Nice people, nice restaurant. But you play 1845 in the city?
1849.
1849.
Yep. And the Back Fence. And those are the two places in Manhattan that we work at a lot.
Now, 1849 is fairly new, right? Or did it just change names?
I've been down there so long I didn't even realize it. Actually found some CDs that Norman and I had burned. He was bringing his CD recorder to all the jobs for about a month or so, and we were just recording all the shows, and I look at the dates on this thing, and it was 2.5 years ago, and I didn't even realize I'd been down there that long. But that's every Monday night we're down there at 1849, and I've been down there about 3 years, so I guess you could say it's new, but
well, I guess, you know, we're just getting old.
It goes fast. I mean, where I'm working six nights a week, it just goes, the time goes so fast.
You do a lot of private parties?
A lot of private stuff, a lot of country clubs, which is a niche that I never even thought to explore. But it kind of just came about from people seeing us in places like Opus or whatever. And because the crowd that's all getting into these country clubs now are all guys like maybe just a little older than me who just want to hear like Grateful Dead songs and Rolling Stones songs. They don't want to hear the old shtick that I guess the older members might have wanted to hear like a few years ago or whatever. So
they don't want a foxtrot anymore.
No, they don't. They want to hang out with their buddies in a comfortable environment and have a couple drinks and have some fun, you know.
I love those gigs.
Those are...
You eat well.
Yep.
Drink well.
Yep.
Everyone, you know, I love playing parties because they're there to enjoy
you. Yes.
It's not like they're there to, you know, look for every little thing that you might do wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, they hired you because they've heard you or seen you.
Correct.
And they love you.
Yep.
So I know we were talking before, and this has been a very busy winter for you with the private parties.
A lot busier than it was last year, which was a really nice surprise, definitely.
What do you attribute that to?
I just would say, I mean, it's been 13 years of handing out business cards and, you know, and playing in front of people, and I don't stop to think about it a lot, but I mean, if I added up the amount of people I'm going to play in front of just this week, it's probably like close to 1,000 people or so. You know what I mean? Like, it's just constantly getting, you know, recognition for what you're doing. That's all, you know.
I recently wrote a review of you guys. When I say recently, yes, it was probably a year ago, right?
It was a while ago. A very nice review. Thank you.
At Pete's Saloon, mm-hmm, where the bartender is actually the son of the admin at the math department at WCC where I work.
Okay.
So that's a weird connection. Because actually I went to see you and her son was there, and then next week she was there. So anyway, you guys will do anything from 59th Street Bridge Song by Simon and Garfunkel, mm-hmm, to Iron Man by Black Sabbath.
Yep.
And, you know, what I love the new technology, because you can do Iron Man through a little Fender Princeton amp and get that whole distorted, mm-hmm, sound, and still people can still chat over dinner.
Yep.
But I know you have that master list.
Yes.
How many songs on your master list?
Not as many as there should be at this point. Probably a working list of a little over 300 songs right now, you know, that we can just do right away, you know.
Now, I know you told me, you know, now that you mention it, yeah, maybe a year or so ago, I know you told me you made a concerted effort for you to learn some newer songs to stay current.
Yes. Current.
Within 5 years.
It's got to have some longevity. It's got to... It doesn't make sense for us to learn the flavor of the week and then we can't use the song a year from now or something.
Let me ask you this. Waiting on the World to Change by John Mayer. You heard that song?
I actually have not, and...
Okay, because I'm learning that song.
Okay.
And it's really a rewrite of People Get Ready.
Okay.
Almost a direct rip. I'm surprised the lawyers aren't involved.
Okay.
But, so I'm learning it, and I'm wondering, you know, is anyone going to want to hear it a year from now?
Right.
I don't know. Is it worth my effort to do it? But
that's what it is. I mean, it's always worth it. You're going to learn something from learning a song.
Yes. Well, that's why I do it. For every song I perform, there's probably five that I learn, and then for whatever reason, mm-hmm. either do them once or do mm-hmm. them never. But I always learn a new way to play,
right.
a new way to
exactly.
sing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you this. You and Norm, now you play the songs in the original key.
Yes, I would say 99.9% are in the original key. Yes.
So who does the Neil Young songs?
We split them. There's probably, I think out of the 7 or 8 that we know, it's probably split pretty evenly.
I think the only Neil Young song I can do in the original key is Cortez the Killer.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, he must have been singing low that night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
We've actually talked about it, and I think songs are in a certain key for a certain reason. They really sound the way they're supposed to sound when they're in the right key. And whether it's the way the chords are played on the guitar or whatever, it has a sound. We've actually had some songs where they weren't in the original key. And then we actually went back and moved them to the right key. And it was only off by like about a half step or so, or maybe a whole step. But after we did it in the original key, we look at each other and we're just like, that's amazing how much more authentic the song sounds now than it did before.
Well, with guitars, you got the open strings.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're playing an E, maybe you can move it to A for on the guitar because you still got a lot of open strings. But you're right, there's a lot of songs that depend, especially with the open strings, rock songs, mm-hmm. that's pretty important. But I mean, even Mick Jagger lowered Satisfaction on his last tour.
Mm-hmm.
Even got a vocal coach, I read.
Really?
Because he got really sick this year, and he had to for Mick, he had to cancel dates. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. We try. As long as we can pull it off and it sounds okay, you know, we try to keep it as close to the record as possible.
Now, part of the interesting thing, right, but sometimes, you know, Norm has to do a lot of work because there may be two guitar players in the band, mm-hmm. and he's playing both. You guys do an excellent version of Diamond Girl.
Not Diamond Girl. I can't remember. Summer Breeze.
Summer Breeze. Okay,
yep.
Sorry.
Yep.
Summer Breeze, and I know he... And some Steely Dan stuff you do, am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ricky Nolan was that number. But what we'll do there is, there's always a dominant part that you're looking for. And unfortunately, I might not always be playing the correct bass line then. I might have to cover a piano part or just at least hint at it so that what the people are expecting to hear comes through, you know.
Are there any songs that you've retired because you find that you did them and they just don't get the response that you want?
Not that I can think of. If we retired them, it was because we weren't comfortable performing them. Not so much that they weren't getting the correct response.
Interesting. So, Bob, I'm going to bring you to the feature part of our show where we about the desert island, a boombox, and a CD or a box set. And don't forget, we got to talk about your bases later. But, you know, I always have my guests prepare. Some of my guests make it seem like they didn't prepare, but everybody prepares for this question. And so, who would you bring? You can, you know, one or two CDs, a box set. Who would you take?
I'd have to say probably Abbey Road.
Abbey Road.
I just think the second side of Abbey Road is just like the best side of an album.
You're talking about the suite at the end?
I'm talking about pretty much the whole, you know, from Here Comes the Sun on, you know. Because now it's a CD, it's not an album. When I was growing up, side two started with, you know.
Right, no, there's no concept.
Here Comes the Sun, you know.
There's no concept of albums anymore. Right. I mean, basically online, mostly they sell singles.
Mm-hmm.
So that concept is kind of shot. Okay, well, that's it. I remember that album was responsible for the hidden coda at the end of the side.
Right. With Her Majesty.
Right? Her Majesty was a pretty nice girl. Someday I'm going to make her mine. But that started the whole thing of burying something like 10 seconds after the album ended and not putting it on the label.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I remember, I hate to say it, I was in eighth grade when that album came out.
Wow.
That was, and it's funny because the one song that I didn't really like on the album was, do, 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 do.
Oh, Come Together?
Come Together. Yeah. Never liked that song. Yeah. Now I do it and people love it.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with me, actually, believe it or not. I wasn't crazy about the song. Now I love it. I mean, I actually perform it with somebody once in a while, and it always gets a good response.
Interesting story about that song. Here Comes Old Flaptop. That line appeared in a Chuck Berry song. Just that one line. They didn't nick any music or anything, and Chuck Berry sued him.
Did he really?
He sued him. And I've heard other blues songs with that line in it, but he sued him, and John, I guess, felt bad for him, so he gave him a generous settlement. But I've heard the song that supposedly it came from, and there's...
Not even close?
No. But, anyway, okay, so that's a great... What would be your number two choice, Steve?
I'm a little torn.
Tell me both.
I would say the Live Springsteen 75 to 85 box set. Or
was that the one that came out and they just sold out immediately?
Pretty much, yeah. Because he said he would never put out a live album, and then he all of a sudden came out with this again. When I bought it was three albums,
three discs.
You know, actually it was five. I think might have been. And it's three discs, but it was five actual albums when I bought it. Or I would say Sticky Fingers by the Rolling Stones.
See, for me, I like the one with You Got the Gold, You Got the Silver, Midnight Rambler.
Mm-hmm. That's Let It Bleed.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's top three Stones album for me.
I like Beggar's Banquet too.
Mm-hmm.
You like Exile on Main Street?
I do. I just, for me, the way Sticky Fingers starts with Can't You Hear Me Knocking, that guitar is like rock and roll guitar to me. Like, it's just amazing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of memories hooked up with that album. And then they do the little Santana-esque thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, which brings me to my second question. Mm. And I have to explain it better to people, because it'll make it easier to answer it. And the real question is, you are being feted for a lifetime of achievement in Madison Square Garden. Just like a tribute to Bob Dylan, a tribute to George Harrison. And you get to pick the people who are going to either play with you or play for you. You can set up different groups. Name some of the people you'd stick in the band. We know Norm's going to be there.
Norm would be there.
Okay. Playing a
acoustic. Hopefully, one way I thought to answer this question actually was, it would be great to have, more important than a famous person, just the the people I've played with over all the years who I've actually made music with.
Shout some names out.
You know?
Name some names, dude.
Norman. You know, Norman Dodge, Ronnie Negro on the drums, Andy LeDoux on the drums, Pete Hopp, I used to work with a lot.
On guitar.
On guitar, yep. And just, I've been lucky enough to have about 20 or 30 people who I've worked with, even if it's just one job, I've worked with you a couple times. I mean, just, everybody's a great guy. Everybody's a great person, and it just makes making new music so much easier. And everybody's talented and knows what they want to do, and I'm just lucky enough that I don't have to work with people who I don't want to work with.
Well, that's why it says Bob and Norm.
There you go.
And not the Coolers or something like that. Yeah, there's something to be being your own boss, but there is a responsibility with it.
There's a big response. Once you attach, I mean, it's how I make my living, so once you attach that to it, there's definitely responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, every gig that you... I always feel every gig I play could be my last gig at that club, or it could be the first of many gigs, and I... You know, people are very, very unforgiving.
Mm-hmm. They really are. And, I just... Every job is important. I don't care where it is, what it is, how much it's paying.
This ever happened to you, Bob? This happened to me. I handled it poorly once. Now I'm a pro at it.
Okay.
But you know I'm capable of violence, because you know I'm a Taekwondo person, and being officially a master of Taekwondo.
Yes, congratulations! I heard.
Thank
about
you.
That.
How to break some bricks, break some boards. But people call me Mr. Zeitel, Master Zeitel. They speak with respect to me. I'm on the gig. Does this ever happen? You're in the middle of a song, and someone walks right up to you while you're singing and you're playing, and starts talking to you and wants another song, or wants this, or wants that. What do you do? I know it must have happened to you.
It happens to me.
More than you want?
Yes. Okay. A few times a week. I try to be... It's hard to be diplomatic at that point, because...
You're in the middle of singing a song.
Right. It's disrespectful for them to do that. I mean...
Exactly. But if you handle it wrong, they take their 15 friends and leave the club.
Unfortunately, or I should say fortunately, I'm not in a position where... I try to be as diplomatic as I can, but I try to preserve my self-respect at the same time, and
I try
to get my point across to them. Some people know me a little better, kind of would laugh that if they see that going on, they know my personality and they know I just want to.
So you would ignore them?
Not ignore them. I'll try to explain to them. If they're still there by the time the song's over, I'll try to explain to them a little more directly. It's hard. You have 2 seconds. You're singing, you're playing, you know.
And they're demanding your attention.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good answer. I mean, the real thing that you have to do is you have to completely ignore them, and then at the end of the song, you say, how can I help you?
Right. But for the most part, I do. It depends on what kind of mood I'm in. I mean, I've had people walk up to me and start tapping me on the leg, like while I'm doing this. You know,
and then what do you do, Bob?
That I just ignore them. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know. So.
But let us not dwell on the negative.
No,
let's dwell on the positive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting to me is you taught me something.
Yep.
You taught, why not? You taught me, part of the business I learned is that I need to, when I take a break, I let the band do what they want, but I go and I talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go around, I talk to them, how you doing, you know, just,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe get their name for the email list or whatever, but I feel that that's an important part of the gig. But also, when you're in the bar and the music's blaring on the jukebox, what you and I talked about, you have to be careful not to blow out your singing voice.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I get torn talking to them. I think, well, Bob says I'm going to lose my singing voice. I think he's right.
You'll feel it. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, unfortunately, when you sing, I think you sing correctly. You're doing everything physically correctly. When you're speaking, you're not. And a lot of times I just find I can't speak over the music. And, you know, I mean, it's just too much strain. So.
Yeah, and you actually get to share the singing with Norm.
Yes. Yeah.
Although I have interest. Well, it was real nice when the smoking ban went into effect for my voice. Bad mm-hmm. for business.
Bad for business. Yeah.
I'm getting a little smoke now and then at some of the places. Don't want to mention them.
Yeah.
But it's almost like prohibition at this point.
Yep.
It's
they'll sneak it in when they can.
What?
They'll sneak it in when they can. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, the government thinks nothing of taxing cigarettes and alcohol, but the land of the free and the brave, I think we're the land of the regulated at this point.
I think so too.
Everything is heavily regulated. You know, God, I remember the days when I used to play in Manhattan and they had the, they had some kind of law where if you didn't have a cabaret license, you could only
have that.
Three pieces in the band.
They have it where, you know, people can't dance. And,
oh, right, people can't dance unless you have a cabaret.
They still have that down at the back fence. They have to tell people to sit down. You know?
I know Thelonious Monk, he didn't rat out someone.
That's awful. That's such a bad job by me.
And they took his cabaret license away. He didn't work for like 10 years. Anyway, Bob, I want to thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you, Roger.
Bob and Norm, go out and see them. You're going to love them. You're going to want them to play your private party.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Roger. Thanks for having me. I'm sorry about the phone.
I thought it was my phone.